Amazing Blue Nation, it's Tom Brady. I co-founded Autograph with one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. That's why I'm excited to announce the release of a new app that recognizes the biggest Michigan fans. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to the best Michigan content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards for diehard Wolverines, all for doing the things you already do, like listening to this podcast. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Rewarding Fans and download today.
Hey, just like my good buddy Tom Brady just said, download the app Autograph Rewarding Fans. Use my code MFRANT and start getting rewarded today. All right, go Blue. Hey, hey, Michigan Maniacs. This is the Michigan Football Rant, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. This is the big game pregame, Ohio State, the game. Oh, it's finally here, everybody. But before we get going, I just want to give thanks. Like, this is the week of Thanksgiving. This is where we traditionally look back and say what we're thankful for. It's weird that I normally don't do this on this show, but this has been perhaps the toughest year of my life. I would say it's up there. If it's not the toughest, it's in the top five, easy, maybe top two. There's been a lot that went wrong this year, a lot of stuff that I've seen. I don't say this a lot, but I witnessed in April, I witnessed a coworker get crushed to death. I work in a pretty, what could be a very dangerous job if you're not paying attention. And something happened and I was like 5 feet from it, and it was horrifying. It's affected me now more than I could probably ever say. It was awful. And it's been a long road to just, you know, enjoy life again. You know, just weird stuff. I mean, I'm no sad sack by any stretch of the imagination. And I have a very good support system around me. And that's why it's led me to mention this as being thankful. Even though this was one of the hardest years of my life, I'm very thankful for the people who are important to me, right? Those people really showed up, you know, and it means a lot. And I say that too because I lost a very important friend to me just 2 days ago to a stroke. And, you know, I try not to be sappy, but if you have people in your life that you truly love, and I know this is old and probably played out, but just tell them you love them, for God's sakes. I hadn't heard from her in a while, and she'd been on my mind lately. And normally, we'd been really good friends for a long time. And I do regret not saying that, you know, not saying, hey, I love you, you know. Also going to sound silly is I'm thankful for this team. Whatever happens on Saturday, which I think we're going to win, but whatever happens on Saturday, this team, as silly as it may sound, I keep saying that, but still, helped me look forward. You know, my son helps me look forward to life, helps me be like, let's keep going. Even through the hardest times, you never worry about that stuff because you're like, I have my son, I have my friends. And I mean, hell, I even have Michigan football, for God's sakes. I love this team, right? I look forward to them playing each and every year. Even when we suck, I look forward to the games. I might get hard. That sounds awful. I might be hard on them sometimes, and my opinions might not always be the ones that you want or as positive as maybe they should. But it doesn't take from the fact that I love this team. I love them. And I know in April, and I was just like, God, the spring game and all this is happening. It's coming, you know what I mean? And just either had happened or was coming up. It just had happened, right? It was just a few weeks in. I was like, Michigan football. And then that thing at work happened. So it just helps get me through. And you guys, you great fan base. I mean, great fan base. And it just, you guys just, we just keep getting larger and larger and larger. And I can't thank you enough, though. So I'm thankful for you as well. And I know, I think I've taken up enough of our time being mushy, but I really do appreciate you guys a lot, more than I could probably ever say, or more than I could ever really show you or give back to you or whatever. I just really appreciate all the support. So now that I'm done being all sappy, just tell your family how much you love them. Appreciate this team for what it does. Appreciate your life for what you have. And if you don't like what you have, then figure out why, and you know, hopefully you can change it. You know, I know life is rough right now. Life is getting harder with how stupid everybody's becoming. And so let's move on, keep strong, stay focused, and hopefully we do all that and we stay diligent to what we truly love and believe in. Hopefully things will get better. So let's get into that, right? So big game, obviously. Michigan comes limping in once again from last week's game, just like we did last year. And actually, to be quite honest, I feel better about this team this year and how we won versus Maryland than how we looked against Illinois last year, right? I mean, because, yeah, granted, Mike Barrett got hurt. Henderson's been hurt. Hinton's been hurt. JJ's not looking great. But guess what? Roman Wilson is hurt, but none of them are ruled out, right? None of them are ruled out. Our defense made big, big plays when we needed them. Big-time players making big-time plays. Last year, we needed Sam Gash, who is now, I think it's Sam. Oh, Sam Gash is his dad. But the Gash kid to make big plays when we need it. He's now medically retired. I hope he's okay. I hope this doesn't ruin his life by any stretch of the imagination. But so, and then we lost Corum last year, right? So I feel much better about this. Granted, I wasn't happy last week, but still, I feel really good about what this team can do. And I'll be honest, I look at what's going on in this, and I think a few things, right? One, Ryan Day is in the worst situation possible. Absolutely, it's a no-win situation for Ryan Day, and it's a win-win. It's more of a win situation for Sharon Moore than it is ever for Ryan Day, and I'll explain why. One, if Sharon Moore loses, he's just the assistant head coach. He's the interim head coach. And everybody could fall back and say, well, I mean, he did what he could do. He's not a head coach yet, you know, and the biggest game of his life, you know, he wasn't ready for it. You can make that excuse, right? And obviously, it would be an excuse, but still, he's just the assistant head coach. He's not Harbaugh, right? Going up against our biggest rival on our biggest day, and he falters. You could say that. Or if he wins, you're like, holy shit, he's just an assistant coach. He's just the interim head coach. He's not Harbaugh. And he beat Ohio State. Much better of a thing for Sharon Moore. Should give him a little bit of an ease, especially being at home, especially coming in probably 95% healthy throughout the team's health, right? Or you could be Ryan Day. No matter what happens, Ryan Day is going to lose. One, he wins the game. They won, but they just beat Sharon Moore. He's not even Harbaugh. Harbaugh was on the sideline. Yeah, they won because Michigan didn't have their signs. You know what I mean? Okay, big deal. You're supposed to beat the interim head coach of a team that couldn't steal signs anymore. You know, I mean, that's going to be the narrative, right? Then, two, if he loses, he might as well quit during his post-game press conference. He might as well quit. Imagine the stress that he's been under over the last 3 years because COVID doesn't, you know, Okay, we'll just say two, since he's lost the last two. We'll say over the last 2 years, how much stress has this man been under? Where he allegedly got a PI firm to get into Michigan stuff. I mean, he's supposedly paid other Big Ten coaches double figures to steal Michigan's signs to create a database for it so they can have it, spreadsheets and all. And we've seen the proof, spreadsheets and all. What does that say? Well, that is a man under pressure. And he's lost both games. Knowing everything he knows, they still lost both games. Now, you lose to a team that can't, like, what the narrative is going to be. They can't steal signs anymore. So your head to head right now, everything's on the level, right? Whatever you can steal during the day is what you can steal. Supposedly you still have the advantage because you have all our signs still. Get all this out of the way, right? You lose to an assistant interim head coach who isn't Harbaugh. For the third time out of 3 years, you might as well just quit, because the Bucknut Nation is going to come for you if you're Ryan Day. They do not care that you have one of the best winning percentages in college football as a head coach. Do not care, because you will go 0-3 to Michigan. And top it all off, you lose to an assistant/interim head coach. You will go down forever as the worst Ohio State coach in history. No matter how well you win, no matter how much you win, I mean, no matter how many Big Ten titles he's gone to or played for, or how many people he puts in the pros, people and trust me, I will be one of them. When Michigan beats Ohio and Ryan Day becomes the first Ohio State coach to lose to Michigan and an interim assistant head coach, I will remind Bucknuts till the day I draw my last breath that they suck, that they couldn't even beat us when we don't even have Harbaugh, our main man, on the sideline. Get ready. I cannot wait for that to happen. I will be super petty. And guess what? You think Michigan fans are going to be petty? Just wait till you see Bucknut fans who have to be constantly reminded that this is a black mark for the history of this rivalry. So right there, and we all know Ryan Day does not do well with this kind of pressure. So look what he did when he had the pressure of the Notre Dame game. The man threatened elder abuse, people. He threatened elder abuse on some poor Lou Holtz. He's like 1,000. And that's not even 1/10 of the pressure he's going to be under to deliver a win against a Harbaugh-less led Michigan football team, who is the scourge of the Big Ten with their awful cheating. If you can't beat this team, you just quit, Ryan. Just quit. Go to the NFL. Do something. Just get out of here. And I really hope that happens. So anyways, lose-lose for him. This really comes down, I mean, no matter the game plan on how we've beat them the last 2 years, it's still got to be the game plan on how we beat them this year. And that is, let them go, let them move the ball however they want to from the 20 to the 20. But once they get even approached the red zone, that big blue wall has to come up. You have to make them score field goals instead of touchdowns. And if you make them do that, we will win this game, right? We'll be in the power position to win that game. On the other hand, when we get into the red zone, we need to score touchdowns instead of field goals, right? Very simple, but this is how we do it. And I looked it up. Now, I'm sure it goes further back, right? I'm sure it does. But I only did in the Harbaugh era. So in the Harbaugh era, from 2015 till now, The team that has won the rushing attack or who has run for the most yards in that game wins the game. 2015, Ohio had 369. 2016, Ohio had 206. 2017, Ohio had 226. In 2018, Ohio had 171. Shocker, right? I didn't expect that, but that's when they really lit us up in the air. Ohio in 2019, 264. COVID, that's a wrap on COVID. We wipe the slate clean. Michigan comes out 2021, 297. 2022, 252. When whatever team wins and has the most rushing yards on the day wins the game. Plain and simple. Over. Done. So, you can let Marvin Harrison have his day. Now, obviously, you don't want him going for like 10 receptions for 200 yards and like three touchdowns. Obviously, that's not the day I'm talking about, right? But he can still have a great day and they can lose the game. Perfect example. Over in 2021, Marvin Harrison had, in 2021, we had Wilson and Smith and Jigba. Smith and Jigba had 11 receptions for 127 and Garrett Wilson had 10 for 119 and a touchdown. Those are pretty good days. And I didn't even look, but I'm sure Olave had quite a bit as well. So those three had amazing days, still lost the game by a lot. C.J. Stroud threw for 394 and two touchdowns, lost the game. 2022, Marvin Harrison. A lot of people said, well, we can't allow him to get over the 100-yard mark in receiving. We can't let him do blah, blah, whatever, right? Because he's just too good. Granted, he's good, but still, like I've always said about a wide receiver, they are dependent positions on what? The quarterback. If the quarterback is having a bad day, more than likely your wide receivers have done shit. More than likely, okay? So, last year, Harrison, 7 catches for 120 and a touchdown. Marvin Harrison, that was his day last year. And would you say, was he a threat down at the end of the day? Were we overly worried about what Marvin Harrison Jr. was doing on that day? No, right? We weren't really concerned. And he had a great day. That's a great day. I mean, and Jigba had 9 for 125 and a touchdown. That's another great day for a wide receiver. Still didn't matter. Stroud, once again, 349 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. That's a great day. Minus the 2 interceptions, but still, that's a great day. Still lost the game by double digits. So whoever wins this game will ultimately control the clock, control the line of scrimmage because of the running attack. That is, I wish that made me feel better because we have a 3-4-headed monster when you talk about Corum, Edwards, Mullings, and JJ going up against Henderson. And Henderson is a beast. Now, granted, Henderson, since he's come back from injury, he's played, I believe, Indiana's defense. No, not Indiana's defense, my fault. Michigan State's defense, Minnesota's defense, and Rutgers' defense, right? Let me double check to make sure. Yeah, that's right. And Wisconsin. None of them are in the top 25 when it comes to rushing, I believe. I think Rutgers was the best, but still, that was like 24th. It was either them or Wisconsin were the 24th. They were, I believe, 24th or 25th, but none of them were in the top 20 in rush defense. None of them. And he had a great day. And he's a great, I mean, he hits that corner and he's gone. They played Notre Dame. He was healthy in that game. I think he had, 9 or 10 carries for over 110 yards, I think, in a touchdown. I believe, I could be wrong, but still had a decent game, right? He's a problem. Now, if we can stop the run, stop him, and get McCord nervous, we can win this game, and we can win this game by a lot. Because the one stat that, I mean, I think it's understated, and not a lot of people have been talking about this, but Kyle McCord is in the top 10 when he has a clean pocket, right? Top 10 in passer completion, okay, percentages, right? Top 10. Now, when he doesn't and the pocket isn't clean, he's feeling pressure, he falls out of the top 100. I think he's in like 78 percentile with a clean pocket, and he's like 35% or something like that. Now, of course, when I want the stupid stat, I wrote it down somewhere, and I'm like, Adam, write this in your book, because you're going to talk about this. And I'm like, nah, I'm at work. Blah. I wrote it down, and I had the stats 100% just written down so I can look at them. But still, off of memory, what I can remember, I think he's like in the 78 or so when he's got a clean pocket, and like 35 or something, like 35, 38 when he doesn't. That's huge. Because if we put pressure on Kyle McCord like we did to Tua, Tua's little brother, Talia, right? If we do that like we did to Talia, this game could be a 21-point win, 28-point win for us. Because you wreck Kyle McCord. You get him nervous. You get him seeing ghosts. Our defensive backfield is good enough to pick him off, obviously. He'll be pressing. You know who he's going to be pressing to. He's going to be pressing to Marvin Harrison Jr. And I see a big defensive game for us in the backfield if our defensive line can get in there. And right now, Ohio State has not faced a defensive line as good as Michigan all season long. And I know you're going to say, well, what about Penn State? Penn State is very, very good. And I'm not going to blast them. They are very good. But the one thing Penn State does that makes them that good is that their linebackers and their cornerbacks blitz so well. Their blitz packages are fantastic, right? But their defensive line need it to help them take the next step, to help them get that added pressure. Our defensive line can create pressure on its own. They do not need a blitz package to help them beat their one-on-one guy. Kenneth Grant, perfect example. Mason Graham, perfect example. And I mean, even to a lesser extent, Chris Jenkins. And for most of the season, Chris Jenkins had a high ankle sprain. And if any of you have ever had a high ankle sprain, those are one of the most painful things I've ever had. I've broken my leg before. I've broken my ankle. And that high ankle sprain was up there with that kind of pain. It's a beast. I've torn my ACL, for God's sakes, playing sports. And the high ankle sprain was it hurts. Because it's always there and it's always annoying. No matter what you do, it always reminds you that it's there. It's like that annoying coworker that just will not leave you the fuck alone. And everywhere you turn around, there they are. You find yourself on the same P schedule. Oh, isn't that the most frustrating thing in the world, is when you don't like someone that you work with, but yet for some reason your body clocks have matched when it's time to go pee? It's so annoying. And that's as if an annoying coworker, every time you went to go pee, was right there and they pinched you. That's what a high ankle sprain, and not just like a little pinch, but I'm like full on purple nurple type stuff every time. So anyways, they haven't met, that offensive line has not met a defense like us. They haven't. And when they played Penn State, their tackles had a rough day. And trust me, we know rough days when it comes to tackles, because ours are going to have a rough day as well, right? This is really going to be the attrition of whose offensive line can allow their special players to do stuff. And I am not looking forward to what our offensive tackles can do. I'm very nervous about that. I think there's one thing that helps us, is that, I know I'm rambling, but still, one thing that'll help us is that when we're at home, the snap count should be able to be heard a little bit better because we are at home. Hopefully the crowd will quiet down as we go to the line, you know, that kind of thing. hopefully, we just need one game from you, Carson Barnhart. Just, I know tackle isn't your God-given position, but dear Lord in heaven, please, please do whatever you can do not to get bullied around again for like the third or fourth week in a row in the biggest game of your career at this point. So I really do believe we get to Kyle McCord, make him feel completely scared, nervous, anxious. We'll win this game going away easily. Now, number one on the list, stop Travion Henderson. Stop the run game, right? So let's just get into the keys of the game at this point. Number one, stop the run game for defense. You got to stop the run game. All right. Two, the blue wall in the red zone, just like we did last year. Let them go up and down freely if you want. Fine. If we can make them punt all the time, that's even better. But let's be realistic. Okay. This is a very good offensive team and a very good defensive team. So the likelihood that they're going to move up and down the field on us is pretty good. But when we get to the red zone, when they enter that red zone, that blue wall comes up and we shut them down. We make them kick field goals over scoring touchdowns. Boom. Stop the run. Boom. Right? Number three, you have to get pressure on McCord. We do those three things on defense and we will win this game. And we could win this game easily, I believe. Now, offensively, we have to win the running. We have to be the better running team on this day. We have to. One, run the ball. But in to do that, we have to use play action. Use play action to the tight ends, play action to Roman should be back. So that helps. JJ cannot miss the downfield pass if we call up that play. If the play is called, he has to make the throws. JJ has to make every throw. We have to have a good running attack. Boom, we win this game, right? Now, the wild card in all this, we can't let one of their lesser unknown or like co-stars of the offense or defense become the reason why they win. You know what I mean? Like, out of nowhere, they make that one catch that gets them a fourth down and 15 or something that could have ended the game for us, or a contested touchdown or whatever, right? We can't let guys like Trainum have a good day. That's one that will stop Henderson, and then all of a sudden Trainum will bust out a 50-yard touchdown or something stupid. We can't have a Cade Stover like last year almost did to us. Thank God for Mikey Samer still, right? And I think it was Chris Jenkins that got Stroud to throw the ball a little off. But still, can't let Cade Stover have a big day. Just can't do it. And not even a big day. You just can't make him. He can't get key first downs or 2-point conversions or something that you forget where he's at. Can't do it. That's the wild card in all this. Someone that you don't expect to win the game for them to win the game for them. And that's it. I really do, man. With all my heart, I believe we can win this game. Because they are the same team, except for two things. One, CJ Stroud no longer there. And Kyle McCord, I don't give a shit what any bucknuts say. Kyle McCord is no CJ Stroud. Just to give you an idea, CJ Stroud is the only Ohio State quarterback that is doing anything in the NFL, maybe in the history of the NFL. Justin Fields ain't doing shit. Poor Dwayne Haskins hasn't had a time to fail in the NFL. God rest his soul. But CJ Stroud is the real deal. I hate to say it because he was I couldn't stand him. Kyle McCord is not CJ Stroud. Last year, Travion Henderson wasn't very healthy. I don't know if he played, but they had him in 2021, a healthy Travion Henderson, and he didn't do much either, right? I think he had like 75 yards or something like that. Those are the two things. We stop Travion Henderson and that running attack, and we mess with Kyle McCord's head, and I guarantee we'll win this game going away. We just do the same shit we did last year. Same game plan. So what if Marvin Harrison has 7 for 120 and a touchdown? He had it last year, and it didn't help him. The pass game, I'm not so worried about, especially when you have a basket case like Kyle McCord, who, by the way, is banged up. Banged up. So we both, a head-to-head matchup, our quarterback against theirs, they're both banged up, but I have higher hopes that JJ can deliver than Kyle McCord can. And even if he does, it doesn't matter if we stop the run. Because the numbers prove it. Now, granted, anything can happen, right? But still, I'm going to feel really, really good if we just do those things. So I don't continue to ramble. Guys, thank you so much for everything that you guys have done for me this year. Just continue to do it. Spread the word about the Michigan Football Rant. Anything you can do to help push this thing forward, I tell you, I will give you the best that I can give you all the time. So just for an independent podcast to even be close to the numbers that some of these big boys are doing, and I'm getting there. It's just a testament to you guys. It really is. So I really appreciate you. And let's get ready, man. It's the week of the game. I can't believe it's already here. Let's enjoy this. Let's get nervous. Let's go crazy. Let's do everything. And then hopefully at the end of the day, we once again are heading to the Big Ten title game because we've beaten Ohio. And life is just continually good. And this win will be the sweetest of all wins. That's it. Guys, it is great right now to be a Michigan Wolverine. It is just great to be a Michigan Wolverine. And always and forever, guys, go blue. Hey, guys, before we get into this episode, let's go ahead and do some housekeeping. I am on all social media. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Threads, I'm on YouTube, I'm on IG, and I'm on Facebook fan page. You can find me under, if you can't find me anywhere else, just look for the Michigan Football Rant, all right? I think on Instagram, it's Maniac Memes. On Twitter, it's at Maniacs Podcast. But if all else fails, Michigan Football Rant. That's where you can find me, guys. Like and subscribe. Support everything you possibly can. If you guys go to Spotify and or Apple Podcast, rate and review, leave a review, screenshot it, send it to me, and I will then send you stickers and a wristband. I'm working on new stuff, so I can send more stuff out like that. Also, Spotify, I would love to drive my Spotify all the way up to 1,000 followers if I can. That'd be fantastic. We're at like 305 right now. I know it's an aggressive move, but I know you guys can make it. I know you guys can help me get there, right? Just go ahead and follow and then rate the show 5 stars if you want. That'd be greatly appreciated. Just get me in front of as many Michigan fans as possible. Like I say, this show is like sitting down with your friend, your most knowledgeable, passionate Michigan football fan, at a bar and just watching the game. That's what I strive for. You have all these other choices for people to watch, to get all the inside info on recruiting and all this other stuff. I just want you guys to sit back and enjoy roasting, making fun of the other teams, all that kind of stuff. That's why my memes are the best. Get my memes out there. I have plenty of memes. I'm making fun of Notre Dame right now. I've got a few really good Notre Dame memes. Get them out there. Have people enjoy them. I mean, it's just what college football is all about, right? Just sitting back and enjoying the game. Also, there's a new app that I'm a part of. It's called Autograph. That's coming out next week. I kind of jumped the gun on this one, but it's next week. I will be sending out more referral codes and stuff like that as the app drops into the Apple App Store. Okay, so thank you once again for everything you guys do for me. Now let's get into the show.